everyone, and welcome back into a fantastic new Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper. We've got a great event and an even greater organization to be sharing with you today. We're really excited about this. Joining us to talk about this, we've got the program manager, Victoria Dietrez. She's here to talk to us about Rise Theater and their upcoming summit, which is happening Tuesday, September 24th at the New York Library for the Performing Arts. You can get your tickets and more information about this by visiting risetheater.org. This is a really fantastic organization, and the summit that they're holding is even better. So I can't wait to dive more into this. With that, let us welcome on our guest, Victoria. Welcome into Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper.
Thank you for having me.
I'm so happy you're here. I want to learn all there is to know about this wonderful organization. So why don't we start by having you tell us a bit about Rise Theater?
Yeah. Okay. So this is a bit of a story time in that there is a lot of context of everything that came before me and Rise Theater, in that Rise Theater is actually a program of Maestro Music, which is a nonprofit org dedicated to female and non-binary musicians working in pit orchestras. It's founded on the pillars of visibility, community, and support. And they have a directory, which is a focal point of how they began, of, hey, do you need to find female or non-binary musicians for your pit orchestras? Here's where you go. Go to the Maestro directory. Before I joined the team, oddly enough, Lin-Manuel was working with Ava DuVernay at Array Crew, which is basically the film and television database for BIPOC artists working in that sphere. They wanted to do the same thing for the theatrical industry, but they slowly realized that theater is very different from film and television, and they needed a partner who really understood how the industry worked. At that same time, Lin-Manuel and Georgia Stitt, our founder at Maestro Music, ran into each other at a pumpkin patch. And at that pumpkin patch, they were catching up of, hey, what are you working on? You know, the typical theater question. And they realized that Maestro had a directory. And Lin turned to Georgia and asked if Maestro would be interested in helping them create this new directory for the industry. And this new directory is going to serve everyone, except for actors, everyone working behind the scenes in support of theater making and amplifying artists who are currently underrepresented in the theatrical sphere. So women, people of color, trans, non-binary, deaf, and disabled. And Georgia said, yes, I'm really excited. And then one year later, in January of 2023, I came on the team along with my former colleague, Adam Heinemann, and we were told we're going to start this program and it's going to launch in June. So we had a hot 5 months and then we launched Rise. So yeah, that's kind of how it began. And we're a little over a year old, which is really exciting. And we have this crazy big summit coming up on Tuesday.
That is incredible. Incredible. So you kind of touched on this on your previous answer. I mean, I love how this all came together. But what exactly inspired you to create this organization?
Well, I think it was just kind of time. I think there's been so many, and I do want to give honor to everything that came before. There are so many directories that have been doing this work. So some partners we have are Ring of Keys, which is for queer artists. We have Muse, which is for musicians, United for Social Equity. There have been directories, there have been Excel sheets, spreadsheets about different diversity and in terms of directors, signers. So this was kind of just a natural evolution of that. And I think the impetus came to fight that narrative that these candidates don't exist. It's like, oh, are you actually trying? I come from the producing world, and I have often been in rooms where I've been the one fighting for and advocating to hire more diverse creative teams and been tasked with creating a list of who I knew. And I've been always keeping eyes on designers that I'm excited by who aren't given the same privileges as their counterparts are given. So for me, this was deeply important for my own identity, but also for the industry. It's a natural evolution. And also, I think the industry, LinkedIn is great, but it doesn't serve it us because it's like, how do you know how to use a wrench? It's not really a skill that you put on your LinkedIn, but like on the Rise directory, you can say, hey, I've worked backstage. I know how to rig. This directory is kind of necessary for our industry because so often we have people reaching out to the same five people, which is great because we go to people we trust, but also that is a point of accessibility that if you are not known by the same five people, you're not getting the same opportunities to find work. So this directory is kind of fighting a hiring system that is inherently inaccessible. So for us, this just feels like our industry needed it. So we were happy to do it for our industry. It's in service to our industry so that we can all rise together.
I love that.
Thank you. And yeah, I do think we're fighting that in multiple avenues of part of actually our name Rise came from that adage of like a rising tide lifts all boats. But for us, moving from a mindset of abundance is really pivotal. And I will show my cards in that I think this industry, there is the scarcity mindset. Of course, there's innate competition with the way that Broadway works and the industry works with ticket sales. But I think we try to move from the mindset of abundance that we can all rise together. So our mission is really just about uplifting all that came before, all that exists, all the organizations that are doing great work, because if we amplify each other, we build better community. So really just leaning into that.
Put that on a t-shirt. Say that again for the people in the back. That is amazing. I love that. Now, I want to turn to the summit that you're having next week at the time of this recording on the 24th of September. Can you tell us a little bit about this?
Yeah. Oh, this is so exciting. This has been like a beautiful seed that was planted almost a year ago now, probably more than a year ago. But so part of Rise, our mission is that we have network partners. So all of our network partners are kind of heart aligned organizations. And all of these organizations are doing really awesome work moving the needle forward in equitable practices for our industry. So whether or not that's accessibility services, fellowships for Black artists, like really creating tools for the industry. And I do regular quarterly check-ins with our partners. And I noticed that there was this thread that was coming up of a lot of the partners expressing the desire to meet one another. And I thought, okay, so what can this become? What does it look like if Rise were to host an event where they meet each other? And the Rise Summit started to take form. And I got really excited about just hosting a day where we can just meet each other, because there's power in rooms. I mean, not to name the Hamilton of it all, like the room where it happens. I think there's so much power to our voice and community that we build, but who gets to be in those rooms? And for me, I really want to make this a day where we're all sharing what works and what doesn't, but also how we can continue to grow and evolve to make the industry better and more sustainable. So that's how the summit came to be. For me, it was really important to get all of the partners in the room and just have moments to talk about, like, what are the issues? What do we want to change? What are we excited about? So there's a larger theme, which is belonging, past and present. What systems do we need to get rid of? What systems do we need to implement to make better equity in the industry? And then from there, we're going to have some really awesome conversations led by our network partners. And we're hoping that this will be an annual event. But yeah, this is the first ever. And I'm really, really excited to just have a day where we're all together and just talking and meeting each other for the first time for most of us. Yeah, sorry, I'm speaking a lot now, but I'm just really excited about this day.
No, you were speaking just the right amount. I love this. This is so exciting. This is the kind of thing we love to hear about happening in our industry. It's also very necessary as well.
Thank you. Yeah, it is that. And also for me, this is just the beginning. And ideally, like, with funding, I would love for this to be a live stream event so that it's not a privilege to only be in the room, but we can extend that privilege to anyone who might not be able to physically be in the room. That's something I dream about for this summit, because realistically, we're talking and brainstorming. And if we want to make change in the industry, it's getting these ideas outside of these siloed rooms and actually engaging every corner of the industry.
Absolutely. Yes. So now I know, as we're talking, we're about 6 days away from the actual summit. So I'm curious to know, what has it been like developing this event?
It's been crazy. It's very funny. Maybe I'm a masochist, but it's like I wanted to do this and then it started happening. And I think I was excited about the potential of it. And the feedback I've received was just as warm as I hoped it would be, which is so, so amazing. You know, my heart feels really full building this. When I told my partners about it, like, I just saw their eyes light up. We did a whole call for submissions where we asked all of our partners to submit proposals. And then we got to read through these amazing ideas. Then I did some like directing in that together, so that you're building connection with someone you've never put cool fusions. It's been exhilarating. It's so exciting to see the passion that it's like it transcends, you know? I see everyone so excited. You see people sharing this. We went public And we were completely at capacity after a day of going public, which is crazy to me. I would never have expected the reception I've received so far, which I think says a lot about the need for hosting this event and also the desire to connect. And that's really what we're leaning into. How do we do intentional connection? So yeah, it's been crazy, but also so beautiful at the same time, which I think kind of encompasses the experience of working in American theater.
I love it. Now, I want to jump off one of those ideas you just said, because I'm curious to know, is there a message or a thought you're hoping that attendees of the summit or participants of Rise Theater take away from all of this?
Yeah. Oh, that's actually a really hard question. Good job. Now you have me stumped. I think for me, I think it would be really great to recognize that, I don't know, I will speak in only I, and that sometimes I can feel so isolated in this industry. And I really want everyone to have a moment where they see themselves. I know we've all have our own stories of like, when did you first see yourself on the stage? But I think sometimes the work of equity can kind of feel isolating because it can feel like an uphill climb. And by hosting this space for our community, our network partners, I think it's really important for them to both recognize that the work they're doing is so vital, but also they have the support of their community. And I want that to be really strong and present the day of and after, because it's what comes after that matters. It's continuing the relationships, it's continuing the partnerships that are helping our industry survive. And I think this is just a catalyst for great change, but it's continuing change after this initial moment.
I absolutely adore that answer. That is a great answer. And it's a great lead into my final question for this first part, which is, who are you hoping have access to your organization and this upcoming summit?
Well, honestly, the summit is built for my network partners. So they are the priority because I wanted this to be a day to celebrate them. So that is the first access. But I think the thing is, if you're interested, you should have access to this event. That's why we have the tickets for free. We ask for suggested donations because that does help us. But equity, financial accessibility is a point of equity. So for me, I think if you're just interested in the work and you're not sure how to get involved, how can Rise be of support? How can we point you in the right direction? And I think if there's any inkling of interest, you should show up.
For the second part of our interviews, we love giving our listeners a chance to get to know our guests a bit better. Pull the curtain back, okay, if you will. And I would love to know, what or who has inspired you in the past? What playwrights, composers, or shows have inspired you or are just some of your favorites?
Okay, that's great. Well, first of all, I have to like give homage to all of my mentors. They are the reason I am where I am. I've had great leadership through the many years I've been working in the industry. So just the producers who have led me and stewarded me to where I am now. So big props to Evan O'Brien and New York Theatre Workshop, to Lucy Jackson. She was the first producer I ever worked with at outside of college. So like, people have been really important. Community has been really important to me. Then in terms of artistic, Sarah Rule is absolutely one of my favorite playwrights. I just think she writes so beautifully. And I love magical realism, and it's really informed a lot of my work that I produce. And then In the Heights is one of my favorite musicals, but it's the classic story of, when did you first see yourself? I'm a New Yorker born and raised, so I'm originally from the Bronx. I'm Puerto Rican and Albanian. And for me, having a story that was like so rooted in the culture that I grew up, I was like, holy shit, I see myself. And for me, that was so vital. And I was like, oh, there is a place for me. And that is kind of what led me to continue doing the work, right? Of, okay, if one person can do it, then I can continue to do that work. So I would say those are my biggest influences. Mara Isaacs was also one of my mentors, and I worked with her for a long time. And Hadestown is one of my favorite pieces. I also have the through line of like, I really like sad shows. So when there's not a happy ending, I'm like, oh, love her. Just because I feel like that's the most realistic to life. Like, life isn't always tied up with a bow. And I think the messiness of shows, when you actually explore the realistic messiness of moving through and navigating our identity, that's what really resonates with me.
I love that list. That is a fabulous list. Some of our favorite artists, I should say my favorite artists on that list. I would love to know, what is your favorite part about working in the theater?
What is my favorite part? I think I will show my cards in that I am always so like cynical. I'm like, oh God, I have to go see a show. Because sometimes when you work in the industry, you're like, I'm always booked. I'm always seeing shows. And then I'm like, you're being so silly. Like, you get to see a show almost every night because you are supporting friends, supporting a new season that just went up. Like, that is such a privilege. For me, just being able to witness new work all the time, especially being in New York, I think off-Broadway scene is so rich and strong. And I think, yeah, for me, I think my favorite part about the industry is just seeing new work develop. I'm really passionate about new work, and I wish we had more systems to support new work. But for me, it's like when you see like a reading of a show that has had two development periods before, and you're like, oh my God, like that's incredible. Like that's groundbreaking. I can't wait to see how it develops. And as a producer, sorry, this is a very long answer, but as a producer, I have been privileged in that I get to see a show and the journey that a show goes through. And there is something so beautiful to see the evolution, to see an artist changing in their own life and how that's reflected in the work they do. That is such a privilege, and that's so beautiful. So I would say just witnessing an artistic journey is my favorite part about this industry.
I love, love that answer. That is so wonderful. Yes. Well, we have now arrived at my favorite question to ask guests. And that, of course, is, what is your favorite theater memory?
Oh my gosh. You know what's funny? This was a question for me. Backstory, I'm also trained in moment work training from Tectonic Theater Project. And one of the questions is, what is one of your favorite theater memories? But I haven't answered this question in years, so now it's hard. What's one of my favorite theater memories? Oh, I know I have one recently. But I'll start with a formative memory because I think that's what I got. But I had seen Peter and the Starcatchers at New York Theater Workshop. And this was actually my first show in New York City. I had gotten tickets through a high school ticket initiative. And I remember sitting there and I was like, wow, like for me, it was just, it's creative storytelling. It was the clowning and the full body embodiment of staging that was present in that production. And for me, it just felt like real storytelling. And most of the time, it was just body. It was just them clowning and doing these, acting as if they were on a boat and then they were pulling rope without pulling rope. Like it was so imaginative. And for me, I went, oh, this is what I want to do. I was what, probably 16 at the time. And I was like, oh, I feel like a little 5-year-old watching the world work. And for me, that was such a formative experience. So that's one of my favorite memories. It's the first thing that came up, but I know I'm missing like great moments. But for me, that was really what changed it. Just seeing such spectacular, magical staging.
I love that memory. That is, what a great memory. Thank you so much for sharing that. That was beautiful. Well, as we wrap things up, are there any other projects or productions or anything that you or your company have coming on the pipeline that we might be able to plug for you?
I would say, okay, this is a long ways away, but next year we're going to host another Rise Summit. So if you are interested in supporting us, the goal is that this will be an annual event and it'll be our big annual convening. So we were always down for support. And then Maestro, we have our annual fundraiser concert called Amplify, which happens every March, the last Monday of March, because it's Women's History Month. So if anyone is interested, Amplify is now live, and you can go to our site, maestra.org, maestromusic.org. But yeah, just keep an eye. And if you're interested, make a profile in the Rise Theater Directory. If you want to be found, everyone can use it, but it's just designed to be intentional and amplify artists who are underrepresented, but it is for our entire industry. So those are the only things I'd plug. But yeah, if you want to know more, I'm always able to reach and I'm excited to meet with people across the sphere of the industry.
Fantastic. And a great lead into my final question, which is if our listeners would like more information about Rise Theater and the upcoming summit, or about you, maybe they'd like to reach out to you, how can they do so?
Go to risetheater.org, but theater with an R-E, because that is an important distinction. And yeah, I'm quick to respond. And if I'm not, it's most likely because I'm on vacation, but I will get to.
Fantastic. Well, Victoria, it has been an honor to speak to you, not only about yourself, but this amazing organization you are a part of and you've created. This is incredible. So thank you so, so much for speaking with me and for your time today.
Thank you so much for having me. It was so lovely talking to you. And I hope we get to run into each other in person sometime.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. My guest today has been an incredible, incredible artist, the program manager, Victoria Dietrich, who joined us to talk about Rise Theater and their upcoming summit, which is happening Tuesday, September 24th at the New York Library for the Performing Arts. You can get your tickets and more information by visiting risetheater.org. And we also have some contact information for our guests, which we'll be posting on our episode description, as well as on our social media posts. But anyone out there, this is a fabulous organization, not only to be a part of, but to support. So if you are in a position to help support an organization, this is the one to do it. Head to their website, risetheater.org. Make a donation, help them out. They're doing incredible work. But more importantly, if you have the time and you're able to, go to that website and make sure you attend the upcoming Rise Theater Summit happening Tuesday, September 24th. And we want to add for our American listeners that Election Day is November 5th. Make sure you are registered to vote, have a plan to cast your ballot, and do your democratic duty. You can find out how and where you can register and vote by visiting vote.gov. The future demands that we fight for it now. So until next time, I'm Andrew Cortez, reminding you to turn off your cell phones, unwrap your candies, and keep talking about the theater.
In a stage whisper.
Thank you.
If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star review, like, and subscribe.
You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Stage Whisper Pod.
And feel free to reach out to us with your comments and personal stories at stagewhisperpod@gmail.com.
And be sure to check out our website for all things Stage Whisper and theater. You'll be able to find merchandise, tours, tickets, and more. Simply visit stagewhisperpod.com. Our theme song is Maniac by Jazzar. Other music on this episode provided by Jazzar and Billy Murray. You can also become a patron of our show by logging on to patreon.com/stagewhisperpod. There you will find all the information about our backstage pass as well as our tip jar. Thank you so much for your generosity. We could not do this show without you.